Welcome back to another Baseheads, the weekly support group for your MLB addiction, brought to you by the World of Sports Network. My name is Lestro, and you know I got the attorney at sports with me, always ready to make the case. How you doing, man?
What's up, Lestro? How's everything, brother?
Doing well, doing well. And on the other side, he's not a realist, he's the realist. Cisco the realist, brother, how's it going?
It's going great, man. Super great.
That's what I like to hear. How you boys been this week? You been watching some games?
Oh, of course, man. You know, we'll get into this in a little bit, but I just want to make a note. My Yankees, they're hot, and they're for
Boy,
real.
Boy, howdy.
They're for real, baby.
13 of the last 14 kind of hot.
Yeah, man. Hey, like I told you guys, ever since I went to that game, man, it flipped the switch for them. I'm telling you.
Attorney taking credit for the Yankees hot streak. Cisco, do you believe this shit?
Well, man, I told him last week that never seen. He probably has something to do with it. Maybe he went there and did a prayer, like right at the stadium, because something is going his way. Something is going the attorney way, not the Yankees way. It's the attorney way.
It's going the attorney way. Well, boys, another fun week here as we get into May. Let me ask you. Let's start it off like we always do, attorney. What are you watching this week, man?
Yeah, I'm going to continue to be a homer, unfortunately. But
I think that's what baseball's about, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree. It's the Yankees, man. You know, they just recently took 3 out of 4 from the defending champs, the Astros, in Houston. That's why that's why I'm very excited, because last year in the playoffs, Minute Maid Park was, you know, a house of horrors for the Yankees. They couldn't win. They couldn't win there in the playoffs. They lost game 7 there. And, you know, a lot of people thought that in order for the Yankees to have a chance to beat the Astros this year in the playoffs, they would have to get home field advantage. But then, yeah, I know it's still early, but then they just go into Houston and take 3 out of 4 from the Astros in Houston. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I don't know if that, you know, tells anything about this Yankees team and this and them in terms of competing with the Astros and being the better team than the Astros. But I know if we have to play them again in the playoffs, the ALDS, ALCS, whatever it may be, I think the Yankees, if they have to go into Houston for a Game 7 or a crucial elimination game, I think they have a good shot. I don't think the home field advantage for Houston is as, you know, is going to be as beneficial as it was last year.
I agree. Yankees breaking that curse this week. As we said, Yankees have won 13 of 14. Let's note that one loss to Houston is their only loss in the past 2 weeks. That team has figured something out right now. And I don't want to shit on the Astros, because they're still doing well. That's still a hot team. They still look good. The Yankees just looked better this week, man.
And they're doing it in a way that you know you didn't expect. Their pitching has been great.
Right, not all the things. That's a lineup that you expect just to mash. Meanwhile, it's their arms keeping them in this.
It's true. Like Tanaka, you know, he gave up 3 runs, but he was pretty much dominant until that 7th inning when he gave up those 3 runs. CeCe looks great. CeCe is just, you know, I love CeCe, man. I'm telling you. We'll talk about that a little later as well, but I love CeCe just for everything he does for that young pitching staff and that organization as a whole. And then Severino, the complete game, the 9-inning shutout, that might be his, you know, that might be the outing that really puts him in that upper tier and gets him going for the rest of the season, because that was straight-up dominance. When do you ever see a complete game in today's major leagues with the analytics?
Very rare.
Very rare. He just was dominant, man. That's got to give Yankees fans, you know, hope to see him dominate the defending champs like that in Houston.
Especially when most bullpens these days are set up to go in. And like you said with the analytics, the Yanks got an analytics-minded manager. It's rare that those guys are going to let someone go the distance. I mean, shoot, yesterday in a Friday in L.A., we saw a kid take a no-hitter into the sixth, and he got pulled. With a no-hitter got pulled. Now, they kept the no-hitter for the team, but still, we're so rare to see a guy go a complete game.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But even, like I said, Yankees lineup is still not even hitting as well as they should be hitting. I mean, Stanton did have 2 home runs, and I believe it was the 2nd game of that series. Then he comes back and strikes out 3 times. So this Yankees lineup has been inconsistent, but for the most part, their pitching rotation has been consistent, which is, you know, the opposite of what we thought it would be.
Still a high ceiling out there. So yep. let's turn to Cisco. What about you, man? What have you been watching this week?
Well, this week I've been watching Mookie Betts. The Red Sox.
Oh, The other side of the AL East.
Yes, the other side of the AL East. Well, my friend, he asked me if Mookie Betts is, if this is real, and he's really going to be the MVP this time around, if what he's doing right now is sustainable for him. So I want to let Hamlet know that this is real, that Mookie Betts, what he's doing, is real, and he will sustain the high level, maybe not 365, maybe not win the triple crown, but he's capable of being the MVP, because 2 years ago, the MVP could have gone to him, and nobody would have said anything, because he was deserving that season, because of what he did for his team and how he did throughout the year. So I've been watching him, and he's red hot right now, man. 365, 13 home run. He hit 300 in one game this week against that. He's been killing this year.
Again, did he do that? Isn't that the second time this season he's done that too?
Yes, he did that. He did that to the Orioles, and he did this now to Anaheim. So, I mean, this guy, right now, this guy is the hottest player in baseball.
And those are two of the hottest teams in baseball right now. The Red Sox still hanging on to first place in the East as of right now. That could change. That could change by the time people are listening to this. But as of right now, the Red Sox still clinging to the top of the AL East. But the Yankees only a game back now, and that's due in part for the Red Sox, the Mookie Betts helping lead them through there, and the Yanks, as you said, attorney, the pitching staff keeping them in games. That's that division. Well. Whew,
the only thing about the Yankees is this. Their pitching staff, their opponent batting average is 221 versus the Yankee pitching staff. That's impressive.
That is a very impressive number for that staff. That was not supposed to be, you know, that team was supposed to be built on the backs of the bats. So if their staff can stay anywhere near that and their bats start coming around, we are in for a heck of a summer in the AL East. Let's
they play that. They open up. They start a series this week. Yankees Red Sox from the Bronx.
I have that to talk about later. That is definitely going to be the series to watch, as far as I'm concerned, next week. Well, boys, speaking of watching, I have to admit something to you. I actually have spent a lot of my time this week watching the NBA playoffs. I know. I'm sorry. I apologize, but they have been pretty good. And I was thinking, this is a huge – the NBA playoffs go on for months. They get eight teams on each side in, and they run four different rounds, each best out of seven series, and all of them going through. And it made me wonder, could baseball benefit from an expanded postseason? Do you guys think – because baseball, it's very quick. They get the wild card game, they get the division series, they get the wild card, the championship series, and then we go into the World Series. Should baseball consider expanding – It's playoffs to compete with the likes of the NBA and the NHL, which are both having really exciting postseasons right now.
No. No.
Straight up no.
No, because baseball is 262 games. So that's already enough. That's already a lot of games.
162, not quite 200. That'd be a long season, man.
Yeah. 162 games. Sorry about that. It's just too much. I think it's just way too much. It will be, you will have that, you will have Major League Baseball for a month instead.
That's true. We'd be seeing the December Classic at that point. So expand too much. What about you, attorney? Would you like to see more postseason in baseball?
Definitely not. Listen, here's why. Do you ever hear anybody complain about, oh, this NBA playoff game is taking too long? This basketball game is taking too long.
My wife complains.
Okay. Well, no, she complains less, Joe, because she wants to hang out with you. She doesn't want to watch you watch basketball. She wants to hang out with you. But anyway, NBA playoff game. For the most part, from start to finish, you're on the edge of your seat. You're entertained from all four
it's
quarters.
It's constant action.
Definitely. Exactly. It's fast-paced, constant action. You go to – even if you're watching an MLB playoff game, those first six or seven innings – are just boring. They just drag. You don't really pay attention and get entertained till the seventh, eighth, and ninth.
Unless
inning.
Your team doesn't is involved. Regular season game. Let's be honest. If your team is in one of those games, you're still hanging on every pitch, even in the third.
Yeah. Oh, I'm watching every pitch, but I'm not as entertained. You know, I'll be on the phone. I'll be doing what I got to do. I'll have the game on, watching and listening. But if it's my NBA team in the NBA playoff game, I'm watching from tip, opening tip, to the last second. And that's just because, like you said, basketball is more fast-paced. No disrespect to baseball. It's a great sport to watch. But in terms of making it longer, nobody needs that. People complain already about the length of games. You add more games, it's gonna make more people not want to watch. That's what I think.
In the playoff for baseball, whenever I'm watching, right, I'm always, when my team is playing or somebody I like is playing, I'm always watching to see when the heart of the lineup is going to come. And I'm like, yes, now we're going to get the heart of the lineup, the three best guys, they coming on in the playoff. Baseball in the playoff is a whole different story. But
Cisco,
it shouldn't take 7 months or 8 months.
You know, I actually agree with both you guys. I think baseball should cut back on the playoffs. I'm actually not that big a fan of that wild card game. I admit they've been good for the past couple of years, and it's fun to have more teams making a run at the end of the season, but I'm more of a traditionalist in baseball. I'd like to see the shorter playoffs. I think the season counts for more when the postseason is shorter, and that's actually one of the things I like about baseball. I like the daily grind of the game. I like the fact that they're out there every day for 6, 7, 8 months, and then we get into it at the end, and it's like, okay, let's get this over relatively quickly with the few teams that we have, because we've proven through the season that these are the best teams. And I'm with you. I've been watching the NBA playoffs, but you're right, man. These games, from start to finish, it's eyeballs on for, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Baseball, not quite the same in the playoffs, even when it's your team. Now, me, I have to say, my data usage goes way the hell up when the Phils are in the playoffs, because I'm texting everybody on every pitch. That was a strike. What is he calling? Bad up. But the fact of the matter is that unless it's the Phillies, you're absolutely right. I am not quite as intent on those earlier rounds. And that just is the case.
But, Cisco, you kind of made my point for me when you said that every time the heart of the lineup comes up, that's when you kind of tune in more. The heart of the lineup comes up, what, every four innings? Every three or four innings?
If they're doing it right.
All right. So you're not sitting there watching every batter, all nine batters. You're really in tune when the heart of the lineup comes up. So every three or four innings is when you tend to focus more on the game. In the NBA, you're not moving from that spot. Definitely, especially when that fourth quarter hits, because that's nonstop action. One play can determine the entire game in an NBA playoff game. In baseball, man, yeah, the heart of the lineup comes up, Bryce Harper, Machado, whatever team it is you're watching. But other than that, it's just – and I love baseball, man. That's why we have a baseball podcast. Yeah. But it's just there's no sugar.
It's a different game.
And baseball is a boring sport to watch. Playoffs or no playoffs.
See, I don't think it's a boring sport to watch, but I think it's a different sport to watch. I think you're right.
I wouldn't go that far, guys. No. Not for us, man. Not for the diehard fan.
Man, maybe boring was a little cruel, not as entertaining.
It's certainly not as eyeballs on action. Let's say that.
Yes.
Lestro, if they are people in Dominican Republic, I want you to say that baseball is boring. Go over there.
I'll tell you something, Cisco.
Go over there and tell them.
I would love to go to a game in the Dominican Republic. I bet that is super exciting. I bet those games in Puerto Rico a couple of weeks ago were some of the most fun live baseball games you could possibly ever attend. And I'll bet you if they were to move pro games, do a series or two in the Dominican Republic, I bet you those would be just out of control fun. They'd be like soccer matches. I think they'd be great.
Some people think baseball is the best sport. Some people think that.
And they're right.
You know, so I mean, baseball is a great sport, but I wouldn't want to see 9 months of baseball.
Personally, I'd rather be at the game. Like, example, for the Yankee game, I'd rather watch a 9-inning Yankee game at the ballpark instead of in my living room, because there's more going on at the ballpark. You know, people talking, Cracker Jack vendors, the roll call. You know, just being at the game in terms of a baseball.
Yeah.
Being at a baseball game is 100 times better than watching a baseball game from your living room. But I'd rather watch it. For example, I'd rather watch a Giants football game in my living room compared to going to the game. But I'd rather watch a Yankees game at the game than compared to
the game. I hate going to live football. I'd rather watch the NBA on my television because I can see the replays better. Don't get me wrong. I would go to those games. They'd be exciting, but I'm with you. The sport I like to be at and watch live is baseball. The others I kind of want to watch on the television because you're missing nuances on the floor. I think they're better.
There's nothing better than being at the ballpark. I'll tell you that much.
Hey, well, we were talking about watching the heart of the lineup as it comes around. Let's get to the heart of our lineup here this week. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We've had some history made in baseball this week, boys, and I want to begin with the history that was made in Seattle. We actually had, in my opinion, Seattle was a focus point of baseball for 2 days with some major, major historical figures with two great players. Let's talk about the one who is active and fantastic. Albert Pujols. The machine on Friday night got his 3,000th and 3,001st hit ever. That puts him in some rarefied air. That makes Albert Pujols the fourth player ever to join the 3,000 hit, 600 home run club.
Trivia. Cisco, who are the other three players? Look out. Trivia time. Come on, brother. You got to go. You got to get it.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe if I'm not mistaken,
I don't actually know this one. I was trying to find this.
Isn't one of them Willie Mays?
Yep, Willie Mays is one of them.
Didn't Palmeiro get that too?
Nope.
Let me see if I can do this. It's Willie Mays. Is Barry Bonds in that group, right?
Nope.
Does he not have the 3,000 hits?
Wow. Nope.
All right, you got me. What do you got? Who is it?
Okay, but besides Albert Pujols,
Hold on.
Bring it, Cisco. What do you got?
Hold that thought. Because there's a man that even with 0 home run, he would have 3,000 hits. That's Hank Aaron. And 2 years ago, I believe that one of the Yankee guys got on too. Alex Rodriguez?
That is right. It was, Hank Aaron was the one we missed. A-Rod is an interesting addition into that. I wouldn't have thought him. That's actually the one in there that I was not expecting.
Because with Hank, he still would have been a Hall of Famer. We know with nothing else, just with hit. That's how crazy that is with him. If he didn't hit one home run, he still would have been in the Hall of Fame, probably.
Well, here's my question on Albert Pujols, guys. He seems to have disappeared from public consciousness since he moved to L.A. He's the first guy to leave St. Louis, go to a major market, and vanish. Maybe it's just because he's with the Angels and Mike Trout overshadows him a little bit.
No.
But it seems to me, you don't think this, Cisco? You don't think that he's sort of disappeared in the past couple years?
No, not going to tell you why he disappeared. In the 10 year he signed, I believe he signed a 10 year contract, right?
I think so. Yeah, sounds right.
Okay,
it's a huge contract.
Okay,
during this contract, 240 million.
During this contract with the Angel, he was good his first year of that contract. He was good, but he was no longer a top player. After that, it's like he's having two different careers. He had a career as a great player. And now he has a career as a below-average, mediocre player. Is how he's been most of his career. His year has been up and down in terms of how his number, because he has been an average player. He has been somebody who has become one-dimensional.
There's something to be said for that. Pujols with the Cardinals for 11 years batted .328. And let's not take away the fact that his first 10 years were some of the most amazing first 10 years of a player had. He won two World Series with him, hit .328. Since he's been on the Angels for the past 7 years, he's only hitting .262. So it is a different player since he's been with LA.
It is a different player. It's like he had two different careers.
What do you think is that? Is that just going NL to AL, or is he just getting older? Did he hit the wall?
It's just that injury, and he's getting, and he has been moving from league, and also that injury for him. And I think that has played a big factor. Like, he has not been the same because of his foot.
What do you think about this one, Attorney? I think if he had stayed in St. Louis instead of going to L.A., this would be a much bigger deal. I think this would have been like a live-looking kind of situation because, you know, he's been with St. Louis. He'd be the machine down there still doing their thing. I think if he's with St. Louis, this is a bigger sort of sports story as well. But I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't have stayed in St. Louis in terms of getting the money that he got from Anaheim. No team besides probably the Angels, maybe the Yankees, maybe the Mets would have gave him $240.
Remember that the Marlins made an offer, but he didn't want to be there.
That's because
how much was
there? Doesn't matter. That's because he's a smart player.
The Marlins made him an offer, and I believe it was like $226. They offer him.
Let's be honest. He signs with the Marlins, and he's a Yankee today.
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, you know, it's crazy because Albert Pujols hasn't hit 300, at least 300, since 2011. 2011, he hit 299. So I'll say that's 300. Since he hit 299 in 2011, his average has just completely gone down rapidly. 240, 250, you know, 255. But the thing with Albert Pujols, since he came to Anaheim,
his first 10 years were so good that his career average is still 304, despite what you're talking
about. You know, I was just going to mention that. We can't forget how good he was in St. Louis.
Listen, attorney, the Marlins actually offered him close to $300 million. Close to $300. They offered him, he would have made $300 million, $275.
I did not know that.
If that's enough money to play on that team. That was still a Jeffrey Loria team at that time.
Lestro, no tax. No state tax.
Again, no listen wins.
Albert Pujols, yes, he definitely with Anaheim hasn't lived up to that $240 million. Nobody would argue that. But the power has still been there.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe his first year he hit 38 home runs. The year after it might have been 35. The home runs have still been there for Albert Pujols.
Yeah, just he hit 40 home runs. Albert Pujols hit 40 in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, Albert Pujols just hasn't been the machine since he came to Anaheim. You know, the pure hitter, the home run hitter, just the complete hitter. Well, he hasn't been the complete hitter, the machine, since he came to the Angels. That's why everybody knows Albert Pujols. From St. Louis, he was the machine. You know what you're getting every year with Albert Pujols? 320, 40 home runs, 120 RBIs, great defense, a Gold Glove Award winner at first base. That's what you got in St. Louis with Albert Pujols. And that's why we can't let these last few years overshadow the great player that Albert Pujols used to be. Like you said, Lestro, his career average is still – it was 308, I think, right?
308? 304.
304. Those are great that's numbers. Incredible. Over 600 home runs. 620 home runs. A career average of 304, 3,000 hits. This guy's an all-time great, man. Probably a top 10 player of
easily
all time.
Easily first ballot, certainly one of the all-time greats, and still has like 3 years left on his current contract. We get at least 3 years of this.
And is a two-time World Series champ.
Yep, three-time MVP, two-time World Series champion.
And it's not like he didn't, you know, it's not like he was just along for the ride. He was, you know, one of the main reasons, yeah, why they won the World Series. Both years, he was the catalyst on why they won the World Series.
Yeah.
So big week for Albert Pujols, getting his 3,000th and 3,001st.
Where do you guys have him among first basemen? All time.
Among first basemen?
All time. Where do you rank him? I got him fifth, I have him. Man. I think he's fifth.
Fifth, I would say he's top five. I'm not gonna. I like to get a little wiggle room because there's been so much baseball and so many guys. I'm still gonna put him probably top five. I mean, one of four guys to get 3,600. That puts you in some rarefied air, man. That is two major statistical categories to check off on your box on your resume. You got to be top five in first baseman.
It will have been very interesting if he would have done it in St. Louis because, for me, Esteban Musial is the second best first base.
That's the question I wanted to ask you guys. Now, there's been a lot of legends in St. Louis Cardinals history. Where do you rank Albert Pujols in terms of the best Cardinals?
Ooh, that's a tough – well, Stan the Man is number one.
No question. Stan Musial is number one. He is Mr. Cardinal. But then you can go in a bunch of different ways. You can go Bob Gibson. You can go Ozzie Smith.
I was going to go Ozzie Smith because from my era of baseball, there was nobody more associated with the Cardinals than Ozzie Smith. He put up the numbers. He had the player respect. He was fun to watch. I got to put Ozzie up there. And he was a lifelong Cardinal, wasn't he? Isn't that a guy who was in St. Louis like his entire career? I got to put Ozzie above Pujols, but only because Pujols left. He stays in St. Louis, and he's floating around with Stan the Man, and that's just the fact.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I love Bob Gibson, man. Bob Gibson was, you know, the first big game
pitcher too, man. Bob Gibson liked to play mean.
Oh,
he was Nolan Ryan before there was Nolan Ryan. I love that guy.
Okay, here's a trivia question: What baseball announcer? I don't know if he still announces, but he was the face of, you know, baseball announcing on TV for a long time. This guy was Bob Gibson's catcher. Who was it?
That's a good question. Let's see. Catcher, who was Bob Gibson's catcher? I don't know. Who you got?
Cisco, you know? No. Tim McCarver. No.
You know, I was trying to come up with that name. I was like that guy from the Mets. That was but I couldn't come up with the name. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Bob Gibson was got to be number one. I'm going to put Pujols probably,
you know,
it's three
good.
In St. Louis lore.
And it's funny because Tim McCarver is known as Bob Gibson. He's known for that. He actually is known for that.
Right. Made his career out of catching Bob Gibson.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Cisco, why didn't you answer the question, brother?
Well, listen, let's change our focus here because we had another major milestone in Seattle this week of a different sort of a sadder sort. When we saw Ichiro Suzuki on Thursday, the Mariners and Ichiro announced that he is no longer going to be playing this year. They moved him off the team and into a more advisory sort of a management role with the club. Ichiro says he still wants to play more. I don't know if that's going to happen because nobody wanted him this year except the Mariners. I think Ichiro could still play, but where do you guys put Ichiro Suzuki in the pantheon of baseball? What do you think of this? Where do you put him?
Well, first of all, he's a legend. Anytime you have a first, you're recognized as on your first name only, you're a legend. Ichiro, LeBron, Kobe, Ronaldo, any sport, if you're just a first name guy, oh, yeah, you're an
all-time. That's a good point.
Yao
Ming, forgot about Yao. But anytime, you know, I like growing up, I loved Ichiro because he just went about it the right way, showed up, played the game the right way, went about his business, and went home. But I feel like Ichiro was not appreciated as much as he should have been, and I don't know if it's because he played in Seattle and they made the postseason one time.
His rookie year.
Yeah, 2001. I'll tell you one thing. One of the best years of all time for a player, man. Rookie of the year, MVP, 56 stolen bases, 350 average. That year is ridiculous. What an incredible year for Ichiro. But yeah, Lester, that's the last time the Mariners made the playoffs. And I think that's the reason why Ichiro didn't get the respect as an all-time, you know, as one of the best players in the game, because he was never in the postseason. That's it. For example, if you live on the East Coast, in order to see the players, the superstars on the West Coast, you got to wait for the playoffs for the most part. Unless your team plays that team, you're not going to see that player unless it's the playoffs and it's on national television. So you rarely got to see Ichiro play on national television. And I think that would have helped him out a little bit more if he played in the playoffs more often or he came to a team in a bigger media market. Because Ichiro, man, he was a great player, one of the all-time greats. You just don't really talk about Ichiro as one of the all-time greats, which is sad because
he was. I think you're right, attorney. I think the East Coast bias is a real thing. When I first moved out here to the West Coast, because I'm in Seattle now, and when I first moved out to the West Coast, people would talk about the East Coast bias, and I'd be like, whatever, just get better teams. And it's true, but I think part of that is because people don't understand on the West Coast sort of how tightly packed and how important that sports culture is. I mean, it's the same distance from – about the same distance from Portland, Oregon to Seattle, Washington, as it is from Washington, D.C. to Boston. And Portland to Seattle is a single culture. And there's like, you know, 27 different accents between Washington and Boston. That is a major population center and different things. So there is a different focus on the East Coast. But that said, I still think Ichiro needs to be in the discussion for greatest of all time in baseball players. I love this guy. I got to watch him play during my time out here in Seattle. And People forget he joined the major leagues that rookie season in 2001. He was 27 years old when he got to the major leagues. He had put up 1,000 and some odd number of hits in Japan before he came over. He was one of the first Japanese players to come over to the States and make a splash over here. And I don't know if I would say Ichiro is the GOAT. I think he should be in the discussion. I think it's, you know, Mays and Bonds and Aaron and maybe even Pujols at some point we'd have to talk about. But I think Ichiro is the guy that if you put up all the guys in the Hall of Fame or not, maybe not the Hall of Fame, but you put up a bunch of baseball players and you're picking teams, you know, just to play like on the Sandlot. All right, I'll take him. I'll take Bonds. I'll take Ichiro. I think Ichiro has to be one of your top couple picks, if not your first, because anybody can get Bonds and another bashing home run hitter. But Ichiro can do it all. That is a guy who has the hits record. He's got a gun in the field. They say in batting practice that he can home run basically whenever he wants. He chose to be a slap hitter. I think Ichiro needs to be in the GOAT discussion. I, for one, am really sorry to see him retire. I love watching him play. I don't know. Cisco, what are your thoughts on Ichiro?
Ichiro, when he came to the major league, he has some big shoes to fill. You remember who he replaced?
Who left Seattle? In the outfield?
No, who left Seattle?
No, I don't.
A-Rod. Oh, A-Rod just got there. A-Rod left there.
A-Rod was A-Rod, right? A-Rod left. Yeah.
Griffey left.
A-Rod left Seattle, and Seattle was a team that was not even projected to be in the postseason. And he carried that team into the postseason. And pretty much what impressed me the most about him was that he came from Japan with all of this speculation as, oh, he used to let the league hit in Japan, in a stolen base. He's not going to do that in America. And he pretty much came to America and left a Major League Baseball in his first year. Pretty much he left, did whatever he wanted. He was the same player that he was in Japan. He was actually over here. That's something hard to do, man. Ichiro not having into a high standard. I saw that season when he broke your sister's record in 2004. I remember him chasing the hit record, and it was fun, like, watching him. It was the same thing. Ichiro made the hit look like it was a home run because Ichiro proved that you can be a superstar just being somebody who hit.
You be a slap hitter.
You don't necessarily have to just be a slugger in order to be respected. Ichiro changed the game. And then a lot of people like Jose Altuve and a lot of these guys that are actually that play the game like this nowadays did it because of him. So, I mean, it's sad to see him retire, but I also believe that in his first 2 years in the 12 year in the major league, he was a Hall of Famer. Like, he didn't have to continue to play because he had nothing to prove.
No, he plays because he wants to.
But
yes. So,
I read this story recently on Bleacher Report. I don't know if you guys read the same article. This man, Ichiro, is infatuated with the game.
Oh, he's
of baseball.
Yeah, just like, all baseball all the time.
Like, no, to a point where it's, like, extreme. Like, it's like a sickness how much he wants to play the game and how much he loves
love
the
that.
Game. Like, if he could it, if he had, if he, you know, was able to, if another if say 3 or 4 years go by and he's still in the Mariners front office or whatnot, this guy loves the game so much that if a team offered him a spot to play in 3 or 4 years, he would take it without no
absolutely
questions asked. That's how much he loves
absolutely.
The game. He loves the game. Like,
remember when he said that he was going to be pitching by 45?
Well, here's my favorite stat. I actually read this week on SB Nation on one of their things about Ichiro. Ichiro's career batting average is .311. Okay, that's where in the major league batting average of .311. Here's the interesting bit: in order to drop below .300, Ichiro would have to go 0 for .385. He would have to go 385 at bats without a hit to drop his career average below .300. That is how good Ichiro has been, and even these last couple of years, he's not been Ichiro. He's still been good. But he's not been Ichiro. 385
at bats.
You have to the golden. I mean, that's not even a sombrero. That's like the golden ring of Saturn is what he would have to need.
And you know how, Lesha, you say that you think Ichiro is the GOAT or should be in the conversation for the GOAT?
In the discussion.
I don't think anybody would argue with you because of how complete of a player that Ichiro was. Not only the hitting, but the stolen bases, the elite defense in right field. You know, when you think of right...
10 gold gloves.
Ridiculous. When you think of, like, everybody always talks about now, right fielders are supposed to have the strongest arm in the game. That's because Ichiro set the standard for the arm strength that a right fielder is supposed to have. That guy would throw the ball from right field, the right field wall, to third base on a rope, on a line. You did not take an extra base on Ichiro. Everybody knew that. The ball is in the gap, and you have a double, you stay in second no matter where Ichiro is at because he's throwing you out at third base. Or if you think you're going to go for a long double, I mean, you're going to go for a double, you better keep it at a long single because Ichiro will throw you out trying to take that extra base. Don't even take a chance when it's Ichiro. Ichiro set that standard for right fielders supposedly having the strongest arms in that.
That is right. He has one of the two greatest throws I have ever seen. His throw from right to third to get the guy out ranks up with Bo Jackson's throw from left to home. Those are two of the greatest throws ever in baseball. And yeah, Ichiro underrated in the field fielding is always underrated, but underrated in the field. I think he is the most complete player. If I'm picking teams, if I'm managing a team where I'm like, who do I get to pick? Ichiro's my number one pick because I know anybody who takes Mays or Aaron or Bonds, I'm still going to be able to get a slugger. I'm still going to be able to get myself a starting pitcher. I'm still going to be able to get myself those guys. Ichiro is the most complete. I would take
I remember.
Nope, sorry. Go for it.
I remember in that 2001 ALCS versus the Yankees, I remember Joe Torre said, whatever you do, do not let Ichiro beat you. We are not going to let Ichiro beat us. And that's the type of impact Ichiro had in the game. You would go into Seattle planning to not let Ichiro beat you. He was the guy you worried about the most on that Mariners team. That's the type of respect and the type of impact he had, man. You when you go into – even today's game, when you go into a – when you play a team, there's usually – each team usually has a player that whatever you do, don't let this player beat you. Whatever you do, don't give this hitter a pitch to hit. Whatever you do, don't run on this – don't run on this catcher. Don't run on this outfielder. And that was Ichiro.
Every position.
He was the guy when you played the Mariners – he was the guy when you played the Mariners. We're not letting Ichiro beat us. We are taking Ichiro out of the game. And 9 times out of 10, you couldn't stop him. You couldn't take him out of the game. That's how good of a player he was.
Well, good luck to Ichiro Suzuki. I hope he teaches some of the young Mariners coming up how to hit. But speaking of the Mariners, you know, we wanted to get into this, talking a little bit about some of our surprising teams and this season, because we're a month into the season. We've seen some teams that we thought would do well struggle, and we've seen some teams that we thought struggle do pretty well. So I want to talk surprises, but I want to get into that with the Dodgers because they have been one of the most surprising teams this year, and not in a good way. The Dodgers continue to struggle out there in a surprisingly competitive NL West, and I didn't quite see the Dodgers' struggles coming quite this strong. They are currently 6 games out of first in 4th place in the West. They are 2 games below 500. They've lost in their last 10. They're 4-6. And the big news this week is that they lost Corey Seager as well. Which one's on LA?
Corey.
They
Corey.
Lost Corey Seager this week for the entirety of the season. Is it time to panic in LA? Kershaw's not what they thought, you know, not being Kershaw so far this year. You guys were right on top of that. No one Scherzer a few weeks ago pointing that out. But Kershaw not being Kershaw, the team not hitting the way we thought, Seager going down. Are the Dodgers officially sellers or can they get back around on this?
No, they're not sellers. Come on, Lester. I don't even suggest that. This is LA we're talking about, man. This is the Dodgers. Like, the team that every single year is, you know, they're going all in to win a World Series.
The National League Yankees.
And I think, yeah, I agree. Magic Johnson, you know, he wants to win. He'll do whatever it takes to win. But I think, you know, Corey Seager is out for the year. That is, you know, I could think of a player. Oh, I forget his name, but now he moved from third base to become a full-time shortstop. What's that guy's name again? He plays for Baltimore. Manny Machado.
Now this is a name.
Yeah, he's.
I don't know which one of you guys guys first brought this up, but this is actually I think looking more realistic as the Orioles also continue to fade. They had some hopes for this season. They are bottoming out there in the AL East at the moment.
Here's how you have to look at it. The Dodgers are all in. They want to win a World Series this year. They're not. Oh, we have these young prospects that we have to, have to keep and develop. No, the time is running. And yes, their Dodgers team, they still are pretty young. But in terms of their window to win a World Series, it's closing pretty fast. So I think they should forget the prospects, give whatever prospect up that it takes to get Manny Machado, and go get Manny Machado. It might be for a one-year rental. You never know because the Dodgers have the money.
Yeah, that's the kind of team that can sign an extension for him. I would not be surprised
if
they make a trade and sign him for the next couple of years. They're the guys with the money.
They got to do it. Because the fan base right now is probably distraught. This was our year, but now it's going to be another year where we make the playoffs as a favorite and lose in the first round or the NLCS. Now, and in my opinion, you definitely won't lose a beat. You might actually.
What do you think about this one, Cisco? Should they
So, like I said, the prospects.
What do you think, Cisco? What should the Dodgers do here? Do you think Machado is the way to go?
Machado will definitely be the way to go. The Dodgers need to be all in it because Kershaw is coming out too.
His contract's coming up.
Well, he had the option to opt out. And I think he's gonna take it.
So you say that you're with the attorney. The Dodgers should go after Machado. It's not too late for the Dodgers, you think?
It's not too late for the Dodgers. I mean, they have a good team. They still there. They are riding the.
Let's shift gears this way then.
But I don't see Machado. I don't see Machado signing an extension. He is going to test the market.
You think no matter where he goes, he sees what happens in free agency, even after.
No, but I'm saying if they trade for him, then once the season ends, he will definitely listen to their offer in terms of signing there, re-signing.
He's not going to get an extension. He's going to.
Bro, I think the Dodgers, their offer can probably compete with most teams.
I agree. I think the Dodgers are one of those teams that can offer checkbook for him.
They can offer him. They will. They can sign him. They can pay him $400 million, but he's going to be in the offseason.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. He's not going to get traded there and then sign an extension right away. No way.
Well, guys, while we're talking about the NL West here and surprising teams, I think one of the most surprising teams in baseball sits atop the NL West as the Arizona Diamondbacks are 21-11, 3.5 games up on the Rockies in the West, and looking like a real team. That is a team that is really playing well. That's a surprising team, and they got some surprising players on that team. What do you guys think?
Let's throw.
Go ahead, Cisco. What do you got?
Well,
I'm not surprised because remember I had them in for the postseason.
Yeah.
The beginning. So I'm not surprised by them. I think they are I think with a Humidor being added, their pitching will be a lot better, and he's pitching like that. One four Goldstein steps up, they will be fine. But attorney guy, one of his favorite players. What's your guy name? The center fielder.
Goldschmidt. AJ Pollock.
We were to talk surprising players. Pollock is an underrated player on that team.
Well, he's only underrated because 2016. And last year as well, he was injured. Like, both of those years, he started off hot, like, averaging the 300s. Then he got injured and just ended up not being the same. But this year, he's healthy, hitting three. I believe he's hitting 320
right now, actually.
Plays. Oh, I thought it's all my fault.
It's
I thought
okay,
he was in the 300s.
He's ranked number 9 in fantasy. He's okay.
He's still having a hell of a year.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, and he played. He's a Gold Glove Award winner in center field, and he's a stolen base threat. So this kid is complete. He's a complete player, just doesn't get the recognition because, one, plays in Arizona, and two, he's been injured most of the last 2 years. But now he's healthy, and he is the X factor for that Diamondbacks team. Because look at it like this. The Diamondbacks, they win with excellent defense, which Pollock plays, and they win with a bullpen that has an MLB best 1.92 ERA. Because the Diamondbacks are they're one of the best teams in the NL, but their rotation hasn't even hit its stride yet. Granke's struggling. Last year's breakout pitcher, Robbie Ray, he's struggling. Paul Goldschmidt's struggling. The Diamondbacks' best pitcher is Patrick Corbin, 2-1 with a 2.15 ERA. And he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Plus, Jake Lamb hasn't played much. Steven Souza Jr. hasn't played much. This Diamondbacks team is winning without all this team. Players. That's why I love this team. Yeah, so much upside. Plus, the Dodgers, they're vulnerable right now. This Diamondbacks team, the NL West is there for this Diamondbacks team.
With Pollock and Corbin, they are both free agents, so they both play. They both playing for a contract, and this is
as Guru.
You love that contract. You always emphasize the contract to your players.
Playing for it this year.
The contract here, the contract here, player. They are always among the best players. You can't go wrong with a contract here, player.
but Corbin 2 years ago, before he got the Tommy John surgery. He was on his way to having a breakout season. Then he got the Tommy John surgery. And A.J. Pollock, like I said, the last 2 years, he was on his way to having breakout seasons, but the injuries kind of hindered him. So I don't think Corbin and Pollock are necessarily breaking out in a contract year. That's the reason for their breakout. It just happens to be the contract year that both of them are fully healthy. Trust me,
they're going to get motivated to stay healthy because they are playing for a contract.
Well, I want to talk. Let's talk about some other surprising teams and underrated players this season so far. I'll bring one up. Speaking of the East Coast bias that we mentioned before, I got to tell you, man. Maybe it's just me being a little bit of a homer being out here, but this Mariners team is an underrated team right now, and I think they got some underrated players on that team. Right now, as we stand, the Mariners are 18-13. They're a game and a half back in the West. But I think more than anything, the Mariners having this year, their problem is not the Mariners. Their problem is that they're in a division with the Angels and the Astros right now. That said, the Mariners are making it really, really interesting. And they got a guy on this team. He's a fairly young player, a couple of years in. His name is Mitch Haniger. And I think Mitch Haniger, who is the right fielder, the current right fielder for the Seattle Mariners, this is a guy to watch. He's currently hitting 300. He's got 10 home runs. He's got 27 RBI. This is a guy that is not making the waves that he really should be making in the national media right now. What out there on the East Coast, is anybody talking about the Mariners?
Well, Lestro, the Mariners, you know, they've always been a team for the past 4 or 5 years that they can hit. Scoring runs has never been their problem. But their Achilles heel has been their pitching, specifically the starting rotation. And it's no different this year. The Mariners' starting pitching rotation has a team ERA
of
4.76. That's just not going to get it done, man. And after King Felix, mind you, he's struggling himself. Players with a lot of potential. James Paxton, he's another
earlier
one.
Earlier this week, which was the best in the majors until what's his name threw 16 as well last night. So, yeah, Garrett Cole.
But James Paxton's another one, man. He's just a lot of potential. I'm not seeing the consistent results, and that bothers me for a pitcher, man. I want consistent results. But Mitch Haniger, I'm a big fan of him. Last year, same thing with A.J. Pollock. He was on his way to a breakout year last year, and then the injury. Mitch Haniger got injured, kind of threw off his breakout season. But he's healthy, and he's balling out. Mitch Haniger is definitely having a breakout season this year.
What about you, Cisco? You got any thoughts on the Mariners? Any thoughts on Haniger?
Haniger is a really good player. It's just that nobody really sees him play because he's in the West Coast.
Yeah, he's in the Pacific Northwest.
But the Mariners are doing very well so far. The Mariners has invested a lot of money on that team. They have good players. It's just that the injuries always plays into a factor, and they have not lived up to the expectation. But I wouldn't be surprised because they have a good team. They got good players on that team.
D. Gordon's been a good addition for that as well.
I didn't put him on my list of underrated players because he's D. Gordon, but D. Gordon is actually very quietly having a fantastic start to a season out here in Seattle.
The best thing that happened to D. Gordon was take those performances in Herndon because he has been a player
since. Oh, man.
He has been a different player. Ever since that suspension, that changed his life for the better. Because he has been a different player since.
Well, guys, we are starting to run up against time constraints here. So let me ask you about, are there any other teams or any other players that you think are being overlooked as surprising or underrated? There's the Braves who are coming out of nowhere. There's the Cards who were not picked to win the Central by most. The Tigers are okay. The Rangers are surprisingly bad. What do you guys think?
You know who's doing really good?
Go for it.
Nick Markakis.
From the Braves.
Nick Markakis looked like this year he has rejuvenated himself because that contract that the Braves gave him, he has not lived up to that contract. He looked like he has rejuvenated himself. Looked like a different player this year.
He's taking the Braves with him too. That is another surprising team. They were supposed to be a couple years out. Acuna and what they're first, doing there.
They in first place.
Yeah, running things in right now.
You know, a team that I'm very, very intrigued by, being in the AL East, watching a lot of AL East teams, the Tampa Bay Rays, man. The Tampa Bay Rays really tried. They tried to tank. They admitted to their fans, listen, we're going to rebuild. They traded Corey Dickerson. They traded Logan Morrison. They just let go of all their promising pieces, traded Evan Longoria. And it's just a bunch of youngsters. But this combination of youngsters, man, they're playing very well. The Rays are top. They're in the top third in the major leagues in OPS. They're just a bunch of youngsters. Daniel Robertson, he's hitting .310. Malik Smith, the speedster, he's hitting .322. Blake Snell, he's having a breakout year. He looks like an early season candidate for the Cy Young Award Cy Young Award. Denard Span's having a bounce back season. Wilson Ramos, the catcher, he's hitting .313. The first baseman, CJ Cron, he's on a 10-game hitting streak. This Rays team is really putting bat to ball. And one of the best lineups in all of baseball, surprisingly. A team that was supposed to – they tried to tank. They admitted, listen, we are going to rebuild. We are going to lose a lot of games this season.
My thoughts on the Rays are that they're not going to be there to win the division. They probably won't make the playoffs, but they are going to be spoilers. That is a team you do not want to play because they're going to knock your ass out of the playoffs if you think you're getting close.
I agree. I remember you obviously familiar with Dick Vitale, right? He's a season ticket holder to the Rays. He's a Rays season ticket holder. And I remember after they traded Corey Dickerson and Longoria and Logan Morrison, he was on the radio show, ESPN Radio, and he was like, I'm so furious. I can't believe it. I pay for these season tickets. I'm going to be going to watch a bunch of minor league players play. That's unfair to the fans. They don't care if you're rebuilding. They don't want to watch you rebuild. They want to see a competitive team.
They got one.
Because that's what it looked like from the jump. This team was just not going to be competitive. But, yeah, they're competitive. Hats off to the Rays.
You know who is another player that we're overlooking? Tommy Ham from the
Cardinals.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a guy that's having a good year as well on a team that I have to say is surprising me. I did not expect the Cardinals to be where they are right now. The Cardinals actually sit on top of the NL Central. The team that most people thought that was going to take that division was the Cubs. You know, that was supposed to be the Cubs and the Brewers fighting it out, and it is the Cardinals sitting at the top of that division.
And then you know who else, man? Jeff Lurie, man. We have not given him no credit. Jeff Lurie is having an amazing year.
I agree with that entirely. Hitting out there in Oakland, right?
Yes, he's hitting the ball good. It looks like he's finally have lived up to all of the hype because – he took
8 home runs, 31 RBI.
He had a good year last year.
Starting to play.
He's finally starting to play. .356. He's having a really good year.
I agree. All right, fellas. Well, as I said, we are getting close to running out of time here. So let's turn our attention, as we always do in the back half of the show, to our regular segments. With that, I'm going to start with Cisco and the realist segment. Cisco, what's the realist this week, man?
Well, the realist of this week is Jose Altuve.
Oh, I love this kid. I love watching him play.
Jose Altuve, we are looking at history in the making because I believe he's going to go down as one of the top 10 second basemen of all time. And he is the best second baseman I have seen since Roberto Alomar. He is very.
I think you mean since Chase Utley, right?
Chase Utley was a great player, but the injuries got in his way. Chase Utley would have been the guy that we will be talking about today instead
of. We had such high hopes for him, but I agree. Altuve is right now. If I had to pick a player to build a team around, it might be Altuve. You know what I mean?
We are looking at history in the making with this guy. This guy can do it all. This guy can hit anywhere from first to last. You can put him anywhere in the lineup, cleanup. You can put him anywhere, and he's going to perform. And he's able to change the game with his speed. There's too many different things that he can do to carry. Him and Roberto, the difference between him and Alomar is very slim. They are very similar. Sometimes I find myself thinking that he could be better than Alomar, but he's a very tough.
It'll probably come down to the rings when looking at that discussion at the end.
Looking at that discussion, it's gonna come down maybe to the ring. It's gonna be hard because both guys are really amazing, but Roberto Alomar is one of the greatest. And since I am comparing Altuve, I'm telling you, he is one of the greatest, and it is okay to say that he's the best player in baseball. If somebody believes that, that's okay to believe, because he have that impact that shows why he could be the best player in baseball.
I agree. Like I said, if I was picking teams right now and I needed a guy to build around, Altuve might be that guy. When he comes up, anything can happen. And that he is one of the reasons the Astros are never out of the game.
You can't get that kid out.
The Astros are never out of a game. It doesn't matter how far ahead of them you are, how late in the game it is. With Altuve as a spark plug, firing up the rest of that lineup, he drives that team, and that team is never out. I love Altuve. I think that's a great pick for the realist this week, man.
Yeah, I think we're watching somebody that is historically good. People like him, we don't see quite that often because of the impact that he has on the game, and especially at his height, what he's doing is this amazing. And I think we should appreciate Jose Altuve more than we do, because
all right. Jose Altuve, the realist this week. And with that, we obviously turn our attentions to the attorney at sports for our closing arguments. Attorney, who are you putting on the stand this week?
I didn't want to do it, but I'm going to put Aaron Boone on the stand.
I don't know. I think he's used to the hot seat at this point. But tell us why he's on the stand now.
It's crazy, man. The Yankees have won, like you said, 13 out of the last 14. And, you know, we should be praising Aaron Boone, but I'm a little upset with him, and I'm sure CeCe Sabathia is upset with him as well. Last night's game, Yankees, you know, CeCe Sabathia is cruising, six innings, you know, great, hasn't allowed a run, only has 91 pitches, goes up to Aaron Boone in the bottom of the sixth. You know, it was so funny. They showed it on TV. CeCe Sabathia is smiling. He's walking up to Aaron Boone. As soon as he gets to Aaron Boone, that smile disappears. Jaw drops. You knew what was happening. Aaron Boone told CeCe, you're done.
Yeah, there was some bit of math or something that said it's time to take him out.
Oh, some bit of math. Oh, it's called analytics. I'm sick of it. But anyway, you know, it didn't burn us last night because the bullpen came in and did the job. But we've seen so far this year that the Yankees bullpen has let a lot of starter pitchers down. Ruined a lot of quality starts. And I just think a veteran, a guy that's proven that he can handle anything you throw at him, CeCe Sabathia, I think he should have been able to go out and at least start that seventh inning. Because like I said, he only had 91 pitches, seven strikeouts, was cruising, only allowed three hits, didn't allow a run. I just didn't see why you couldn't at least let him start the seventh inning, give him a leash, be like, CeCe, you allow a base runner, you allow a hit, we're going to take you out, bring the bullpen in. There was no reason at 91 pitches for Aaron Boone to take take CC out. That's why I have a beef with Aaron Boone, and that's why I called Aaron Boone to the stand. If somebody's cruising, somebody's rolling, and they're not even at 100 pitches yet,
you keep them in. I gave Dave Gapper the same shit on opening day, and I'm with you 100%. The reason we don't see the complete games we were talking about earlier is because they're watching the numbers and they're not watching the game. When you've got a guy who is cruising through six, he doesn't have 100 pitches, he's supposed to be your ace, you give him the ball and you send him back out there. It's not like you had to pinch hit for him. It's the American League.
Then Aaron Boone needs to understand that CC is working on a year-by-year contract. He wants another contract.
Always looking at the money. Go with the contract. Always got his eye on the contract. All right, boys. Before we get out of here for the week, let's take a quick fantasy look. What do you guys got going into your fantasy this week? Lay it on me. Lay it on me. What are we looking at this week?
Go ahead.
Well, I have a hitter I want you guys to take a look at. It's Matt Adams. Matt Adams for the Nationals. He was hitting 189 after his first 18 games. But since then, he's raised his average to 295, 4 homers, 11 RBIs, and a 1.519 OPS. He's just been raking for the Nationals. You know, he's getting a lot of opportunities because the Nationals are going through injuries with Rendon and Daniel Murphy. They don't have their full lineup, so players like Matt Adams are getting opportunities, and they're capitalizing on their opportunities. So if you have a chance to pick up Matt Adams, he's on your waiver wire, go pick him up because he's going to get a lot of opportunities, and he's a good source of power. And then a player I want you to really consider dropping. Oh yeah. Hey, but the Phillies pitching staff's pretty good.
I know it's certainly surviving. Let's say that.
True. But a player I want you to really consider dropping, and it's as hard as it is for me to say, because I love this kid. Well, not a kid, but I love this guy. Ian Kinsler, man. He came back from the injury, hit a home run in his first at bat. He was hitting 368 after 5 games coming back. But since then, his averages went from 368 to 229. No homers, no RBIs. You know, when you pick up Ian Kinsler, when you draft Ian Kinsler, you draft him for the home runs and the RBIs. He hasn't been doing it. He hasn't been getting it done for the Angels. Maybe it's the age catching up to him. But if you pick Ian Kinsler hoping for some home runs and some power, he's not giving it to you.
All right. Attorney says play Matt Adams and drop Ian Kinsler this week if you have the opportunity in your league. What about you, Cisco? What's your view on the fantasy game this week?
Take a look at Eduardo Escobar from the Twins. He's hitting.
Oh, he's having a good year.
He's hitting 357, 3 home runs, 6 RBIs over the last 7 games. And also, take a look at Nick Markakis. Listen to this. Over the last 7 games, 429, 309 RBIs.
Cisco is saying to keep your eye on Eduardo Escobar from the Twins and Nick Markakis of the Braves. If you have the opportunity to play either of those guys or pick them up somehow, make the move. They're doing great.
Stay away from Scott Kingery.
Scott Kingery from Philly.
Stay away from him. 190 over the last 7 games. Also, stay away.
Come on, he's like 12. He'll be better. Trust me, he'll get better.
Stay away from Jackie Bradley. I know people love his defense, but in the last 7 games, 115, 0 home run, 3 RBI. Stay away from him.
You know what's funny? I actually picked up Jackie Bradley, and I just recently dropped him after a couple days because he ain't doing.
There you go.
He ain't doing.
You
Jackie
heard it.
I had to drop him. But I pick him up for the stolen bases, man. He ain't stolen base for me.
I'm going to say, guys, we got a couple of series coming up this week. We mentioned it earlier. The big series that begins Tuesday are the Red Sox at the Yankees. We get to these teams. You know what? Once again, we talked about this before. This is the matchup matters. The rivalry matters. These are the two best teams in the AL East. And Boston is bringing it to the Bronx on Tuesday for a series. I love to see that. The other one that begins Tuesday is Arizona at L.A. And this is the chance to see if L.A. can do anything. If they can make up any ground, it will be in this series. I don't know if it'll happen. Then on the weekend, the following, as we get back onto this, I'm sure we'll be talking about the Red Sox at Toronto, another ALE series, and the big one next weekend, as far as I'm concerned, are the Nationals in Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks. Assuming the Diamondbacks don't completely fall apart against the Dodgers, that Nats-Diamondbacks series next week could be one to watch. Could be teams playing at the top of their game and looking like world beaters at that point. So I'd say if you got the chance this week, tune into the Red Sox Yankees and the Diamondbacks Dodgers. And the next weekend you're gonna want to watch the Red Sox Blue Jays and the Nationals at the Diamondbacks. I don't know, boys. I think that's about the time we have on the show this week. What do you think? Are those a series to watch? Is there anything else you want to add?
You hit it on the head, Lesto, as usual. As always, you always got some good stuff to say. Really enjoyed this.
Hey, if you're looking to find me elsewhere, you can find me every Tuesday on Trash Talk Radio with the Guru. And you can find me on Twitter at More or Lesto. Attorney, what about you? Where can they find you? What are you up to?
Yes, sir. They can find me on Instagram, attorney@sports_. Hey, and you guys heard my fantasy baseball tips for all you listeners that heard my tips. If you really want some in-depth knowledge in terms of fantasy baseball and fantasy football, go check out my show on YouTube, Sports in Order, at the World of Sports Network YouTube channel. Episode 2 is up. I got my fantasy football rookie-only mock draft. I got 10 players that I think are going to bounce back in fantasy football. And at the end of the show, I give you a lot of good tips in fantasy baseball, players to pick up, players to drop. Go check that show out, Sports in Order, at the World of Sports Network YouTube channel. Check me out Sundays on Instagram Live with me and the Guru, Sports Court. Check me and Cisco out and Sean out every Sunday. Everybody has an opinion. Yeah, they call me Mr. Versatile. I'm everywhere,
baby.
He's got five
tools. He's a 5-tool player, the attorney. Now we turn over to one more time. He is not a realist. He is the realist. Cisco the realist, where can they find you?
They can find me at Cisco the Realist on Instagram and Cisco the Realist in Facebook. And they can find me and attorney and Chance at Everybody Has an Opinion. And they can find me on YouTube on the Realist segment. And they can find me on the Realist and Boxing.
That's our show for this week. Thanks for listening to Baseheads. Enjoy the games. Baseheads brought to you by the World of Sports Network. Anywhere you can find podcasts. I'm Lestro. That's the attorney. That's Cisco. We'll see you next week.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.